I did wonder when I met Tina recently whether she was a vegetarian, given the article that she's published this month. It's not actually the case, although we'll be focusing on a vegetarian food in a short while. She's one of the regular guests on Cambridge 105. She comes in monthly, normally talking to Mike Pryor, but it's Phil Rowe here looking after this show for Mike Pryor for this particular afternoon. And we welcome Tina Roche along to the studio again. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you very much, Phil.
It's nice to face you across the other side with your friendly smile. Something that we haven't broached on with you before, though, is the cafe side of your business.
Ah, yes. A cafe. So we moved a whole business about 18 months ago on the same site, but into another lovely heritage building that used to belong to Ratty and Kett, the stonemasons. They were a large employer, you know, once upon a time. So we're in a lovely heritage building, and as part of that move, we added a micro bakery and a wine bar and a cafe to the cookery school. So we now have the two businesses kind of connected by big glass doors.
That keeps you kind of tucked away just a little bit from around the area behind the railway. So if we think of Cambridge University Press on one side of the tracks, you're over on the other side.
Pretty much opposite. So we are down the side of Hills Road Sixth Form College, I would say. That's probably the easiest way to describe it.
Now, if you work one side of the railway line, of course, you never trespass. You wouldn't get across there anyway. You'd cause a major hiatus to the rail services if you did. But it's a pity, isn't it, really? Because you've got to loop the loop and get around on Hills Road.
For those on that side, yes. But there's a lot of people up and down Hills Road who have no cafes there. So we have been incredibly welcomed by our local community. And we really are wishing to be a community hub, if you like. We're very neighbourhood-oriented.
You're right by Homerton College. You're also very near to Hills Road Sixth Form College. So is that where you get a lot of your footfall from?
Not so much. I think we're not a student hangout place. So we do, you know, we are unusual in Cambridge, if I may say so, in that we have our own bakery section. So we hand make everything on the counter. We have handmade croissants. That is virtually unheard of, I think, in most cafes where they will say fresh croissants. It's just frozen and baked. So we hand make our rye breads. We hand make our sourdoughs, brioche cakes, cookies, everything.
I can almost smell it from here. Yes. Although we're about 2.5 miles away from where you are.
Oh, who can resist the smell of fresh bread?
Are they all butter croissants as
well? Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I could... You're almost selling it to me. I mean, obviously not here to
blatantly... I should have brought you one, shouldn't I?
I mean, obviously other outlets are available. Tina, I think there's a credential for coming into us next time. But of course, you as well. So that's the cafe. And not only that, but you operate as a wine bar on Saturday nights.
We do, on Saturday nights at the moment. It might extend to Fridays and Saturdays, but we have a very quirky little wine list just from growers who we know personally in Italy, New Zealand and Britain, actually. We've just taken on an amazing new maker of champagne. You can't call it that if you're not in Champagne, but it is top fizz, made just south of Tunbridge Wells, called Fox and Fox. That's wonderful. And then we have a little selection of wines because we know them personally and the growers are part of our culinary trips that we run as well. So it's very quirky in that sense. And then we do big sharing platters. It's very relaxed, very chilled, and has been, again, very, very well received by our regulars.
English wines, then. So from East Sussex, West Sussex, Kent in this case, Tunbridge Wells. Are they good?
Actually, Sussex.
General question.
Well, when I was asked if I would be interested in exploring it, I must say I sort of turned my nose up a bit and said, no, I don't think so, because I think they still have some way to go. And I have been absolutely blown away by this. They're actually on clay, this particular little winery, rather than the chalk that everyone hears about. Oh, you know, it's the same chalk from France, across the channel to the, you know, the white cliffs of Dover. That's why there's no reason why we shouldn't grow similar wines to those over there. But actually, this is on clay, which, as it happens, is extremely good for Pinot Noir particularly. So they're doing some remarkable things and getting really noticed. So we have a pink fizz in-house at the moment, which is just delicious.
10 miles to the east of us, of course, just over near Linton, we've got Chilford Hall.
Yes.
You ever sampled any of anything from their vineyards?
I have. Yeah, no, I think it's amazing how... it's very brave, I think, you know, to be a grower in this climate, but I think they're all doing very well, and it is taking off due to climate change.
You think so? So as we warm up a little bit, the grapes get a little bit sweeter, presumably.
Well, they do need a certain amount of sun, obviously, not to be over acidic, because you then reach maturity in the grape itself without the sugar levels having risen enough for it to be a nice wine to drink. But that's by and large happening now.
And when I think of English wines, I always think of white wines. But are there red wines?
There are some, but I think we're
red grapes. Yeah,
I don't. Well, a lot of champagne is actually made from blue grapes. you just don't know it because they're not allowed to be in contact with the skin. So most of champagne is, you can have what's called a blanc de blanc, and it's just made from a white grape, but usually it contains at least two blue grapes, and Pinot Noir is one of them. It's just that champagne is not allowed to stay in contact with the skins. So most people perhaps don't know that, that a lot of white wines, whether sparkling or not, might well be made from dark grapes. So it's the skin contact that gives you the colour. So when we do a nice pink fizz, as I say, that has been in skin contact with the skins of Pinot Noir for certain hours, and that gives it that pinkness, and then the skins are sifted out.
You know a lot about this, Tina. So how do they remove the skins?
Oh, there's various ways of doing that, but you are basically sort of sieving it, you could say.
Okay, to sort of, you can probably keep the... Yes, there'd be pulp there, wouldn't there? And then you think probably there might be something that is useful for the as a byproduct.
The must is always white. You know, you can imagine if you peel a blue grape, you get that sort of translucent greeny-yellowy centre. So the must is always white. And then if you want to keep it white from a blue grape, you have to remove the skins immediately. Otherwise, it will start to colour it. But what you also get is the tannins, which you really only get in red wine and not in white wines because it is from the skins. If you have a pink champagne made as this way, you get a little bit more depth because you get that tannic hit. Not a lot, but enough to be a really good accompaniment to food as well. So you can hear I'm sold on this wine. It's really, really good.
Yeah. It's summer terraces, I think, summer months and yes. Salad days. And we think of our wines coming forward. Only a few months now. We're into February. But we'll talk now about the subject for this month, the month that you've written about, green shoots. February, the perfect month for giving up animal protein in favour of plant-based food. As we mentioned earlier on, you're not a vegetarian, and neither am I, but I do respect those that are, or whether they're vegan. So at the moment, we're waging war on the cold while waiting for that arrival of spring just around the corner. So we're going to talk now about spicy and rich comfort food and the few ingredients, sometimes. Do you know the most basic foods, though, like a vegetable broth, is some of the finest, isn't it, Tina?
Isn't it just, yeah.
So the sort of things you might put in there, I don't know. We'll talk about some of the soups and some of the other things. Of course, the Garden of England, we know, is Kent, but our fens, though. And I will, first of all, before we get to celeriac, something that isn't actually on the list, though, I do love fen celery. We do in our household as well. One of the finest places to go and actually get it from Pervade on Cambridge Market.
Absolutely.
Some of the stalls there.
Yeah, still covered in soil. It's great, isn't it?
Fen soil still on it. And you think, yeah, I've got a little bit of the fens here in my hand. I wash that off. And of course, normally you don't need to cut the bottom off because they've done a really good job of that, harvesting it in the fens. I think it's this time of year as well, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. It's very good at the moment.
Oh, fantastic.
Lovely, yeah.
And I have to say, I don't mind produce coming in from Europe, but sometimes you get Spanish celery. And it isn't a patch on the fen.
You have to ask yourself, why, don't you?
Mm. Because our fen celery is fleshy. Mm. It's got these wonderful, for want of a better word, the lobes on the bottom.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yes.
But it isn't one of the foods that you've necessarily got. Here we are going to talk about cauliflower, kale, leeks, parsley, a celeriac as well, which I often, a bit harder than the average humble potato, but mashed together, celeriac.
Oh, it's divine.
With potato.
There's a really lovely sort of almost nutty flavour from celeriac, and mixed with something like a King Edward potato, it just makes the best mashed potato pureed. It's just lovely. Great, great soups as well. So it has a natural affinity with apple, so apple and celeriac soup is good. Perhaps with a bit of nutmeg.
Blend the two. Make a soup, apple
lovely.
And celeriac.
Because it's quite, a lot of these sort of earthy root vegetables taste of the earth, I would say, which is not surprising, I suppose. So lifting with just a little bit of acidity, which they can lack, like an apple, is perfect.
Celeriac, I believe, put me right if I'm wrong, but I think the Republic of Ireland, they grow a lot of celeriac, of course, along with their potatoes.
With their potatoes, yeah.
And mash them all together. And I think there's an Irish name for a dish, which is, we'll have to look that up. Celeriac with potato, I might be completely wrong. But yeah, going together. And of course, celeriac, because it does taste like, we go back to our old friend, celery.
Mm, absolutely.
With that kind of nutty celery taste.
Yes.
So the ultimate comfort food, I suppose, this time of year, as you've put together yourself, you've had a cauliflower cheese.
Mm. Yeah. And because I am not a vegetarian, I would happily add some good quality organic crispy bacon on top if I had my way. But this was about, you know, eating vegetarian food. And this time of year, I think, is a wonderful time to turn to more vegetarian food because they lend themselves to really lovely, warming, you know, comfort food type dishes. I think people think, oh, salad, vegetables, it's a summer thing. But I think it's lovely this time of year.
We've got people driving right now, and some people might be coming away from shopping and thinking, well, I'm on the cooking walking around, whether it's man or woman this evening, we're giving them ideas for that. And if we do get some nice cheese on top, then maybe a nice extra strong tangy cheddar cheese, you reckon?
Yeah, something really,
really
mature.
Bring that flavour out.
Yeah, yeah, something to make your the roof of your mouth itch, I reckon. And not overcooking the cauliflower, you know, if it should be blanched first, but only that, only blanched, because soggy, any vegetable actually, but soggy cauliflower is not a nice thing. So it should be quite crunchy and well drained before it goes into your roasting tin and then get smothered in a nice cheese sauce.
Do you think a moment under the grill just to brown off the
Absolutely,
top?
Absolutely, yeah. One of the nicest things to eat, I think, personally.
Yeah, especially, as I say, for this time of year. So we're looking at things for this time of year. White sauce, making a white sauce, one of the most universal kitchen skills. I must admit, I'm terrible in the kitchen. I just get my other half to do it because, she just gets me out the way. I always just seem to be standing in the way while she's most efficiently preparing food for us at night. Normally just the two of us will eat together. But a white sauce, I think there's a big skill to just putting that together. It sounds simple, but it's not.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's certainly one of those absolute essential kitchen skills, I would say. Just building up what's called a roux in kitchen French. So usually more or less equal quantities of butter. I would always use butter over any other fat. And flour. So you get a sort of paste and then you start thinning that down, usually with milk. But you could also use a little bit of the blanching water from whatever vegetable you have cooked. So I normally put a little bit of the cauliflower water in there as well.
That's
and then
good.
You build up and it needs to boil in order to thicken that way. So it's not enough to simmer. It needs to come to a bit of a boil and it will then self-thicken very quickly and you get a nice lump-free sauce if you whisk away. And then you have a lovely textured sauce, but actually very bland. And that's where the cheese comes in. So season it with salt and pepper and I always do a pinch of sugar as well. And then I think loads of strong cheese.
Never scared of a bit of salt and a bit of sugar to go in the food as well.
No.
And I do like your comment, the idea of being able to use some of the stock, whether it's vegetable or whether it's a meat or poultry stock that you can sometimes reuse and actually
full
tip
of
into
flavor.
Another dish.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to
yes.
sparkle it up.
That's the whole point with the stock. You know, it is an infusion and it's full of flavour.
Pop it in the oven for 180 degrees Celsius, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, and what a cheap dish to have, you know. Would be perfect on a Thursday night, wouldn't it? Wouldn't cost you more than perhaps £1.50 to do the whole thing, even with the cheese and the sauce. So if you're making that for six people, I think it would be difficult to eat for less money.
A tasty budget family meal. But cauliflower as well, and I've seen this done before. Perfect match for using with curry powder.
Mm. Yeah. It's really, really good as a sort of weekday, slightly frugal curry. It goes so well with a mild-ish curry powder and maybe a bit of bitter turmeric. Those two together are both really, really good with cauliflower. And then obviously you can decide how rich you make that. You could use a bit of yogurt or maybe even a bit of coconut cream.
And a bit of turmeric
yeah,
around it.
Turmeric's
just a
good.
Little edge to it.
Yeah, and gives you that lovely golden colour as well.
So it's all really about, all these foods, at least, are really healthy ones that we've been talking about this afternoon
they
as
are.
Well. I will say that, Tina. Green leafy things.
Yeah.
Particularly good for us, packed with vitamins A, B and C.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of fibre in there as well.
Yeah, you know, we all know fibre is very, very good for us. And fibre is also linked to their positive effect on GI levels. Some people are very into GI and they know that white and starch is not very good. The GI is high and the sugar levels go up in your bloodstream. And counteracting that is fibre. So just by having more fibre, you will automatically do a lot of good things. So lower the causes of type 2 diabetes and so on.
Just time, really, to ask you about Jerusalem artichokes as well. I just think of them as artichokes. Are Jerusalem artichokes a little bit different from if I go to the market square and I buy my artichoke, or is that one and the same thing?
Oh, they're completely different. So the normal artichoke, the globe artichoke, I think is what most people think of. It's actually a thistle. So that is something that sits at the top of something that's maybe 2 or even 3 metres high on a big stalk. So that's delicious. But Jerusalem artichokes are tubers, really, and they are just insanely delicious. They're a bit of a bother to peel because they can be very, very knobbly and they tend to kind of colour your fingers a bit black, but it's worth it. They are so, so amazingly good. I love them.
And how would you sort of prepare them, really? Do you give them a boil to soften them down first?
Yeah, roast them, but then I'd roast them from raw. I think no point in boiling them first or making them into soup, really. Again, a soup is just, you know, very velvety Jerusalem artichoke soup, maybe with a little bit of truffle oil on top. That is actually an insanely lovely eating experience from something very humble.
I've got to pop over to your place. You're so selling it to us this afternoon. Dare I say, or do I sound like a complete Luddite if I say you could fry them as well?
Oh, of course you could. Oh, yes. Definitely.
Okay. And for dessert, well, that's probably really for another day, unfortunately, Tina, but at least we got through quite a few root vegetables this afternoon. We didn't get as far as leeks, but never mind.
Leeks are good too.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So it's back into the kitchen for you this afternoon.
It is indeed, yes.
And how many have you got, and just to find out really, how many have you got on your team? Sort of how many chefs and cooks?
There's about 22 of us, all of us, but that's front of house in the cafe, and, you know, we have a big class on tonight. So it's a mix of, you know, chefs who teach, chefs behind the scenes, front of house staff. Yeah, we're very lucky to be in a business where we work with a lot of different nationalities and a lot of young people. I love it. I consider myself very lucky.
I have such a passion. It all rubs off on me, I can tell you very much, but I love my food anyway. And do any of your people that come along as students in the cookery school end up actually being members of staff?
Yes, actually we have one such person now as a senior teacher, because she was so inspired by doing our courses that she then went off to train properly as a chef, and she's now back working for us, which is lovely. She's also mother of six.
So plenty of mouths to feed, including her own. Fantastic. Tina, thank you very much for coming in this month. We'll see you again in March. Do you know what your topics will be for next month so far? Are they still in your creative part of your mind?
Still sitting in that creative corner of the brain, I hope.
Still compartmentalised nicely away. That was Tina Roche there, the Managing Director of Cambridge Cookery School and Cafe. Tina, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon.